Let's pray. Most Holy Christ, speak to us this night. And may we have ears to hear and the will to act. Amen. Merry Christmas. We can say that now. We're there. I heard the other day someone say Christmas is the only time where it's expected that you sit in front of a dead tree eating candy out of socks. Now, it's true, that's what we do, but of course for us gathered tonight it means much more, or it should mean much more. Tonight I'm going to do something I don't do very often, and maybe after tonight you'll say I should never do it again, but I'm going to preach from the Psalm 96. Is the one we have tonight. Sing to the Lord a new song, it says. Sing to the Lord a new song. You might think of this as a heavenly pep talk. There are some similar psalms. Psalm 29, for instance, echoes 96 in many ways, but with a big difference. 29 is addressed to the heavenly realm, the cosmos, if you will. 96, the one for this night, on the other hand, addresses the earth, us, you and me. Those whom would be called faithful, sing to the Lord a new song, is not addressed so much to the angels, but instead to you and me. 96 is telling you and me to sing a new song. You might consider under what circumstances this psalm was composed. 96 originated in a time and place in which many deities were recognized. Every nation had its gods and claimed them to have sovereignty. The Babylonians, for example, declared that their chief deity, Marduk, created the earth and ruled over it. All kinds of such claims were around in the time of this writing. And it is in that context that this psalm was written. This psalm, however, makes it clear that other gods are merely idols. That beyond their earthly image, beyond whatever those here believed about that deity, there was nothing. The end of their reality, their import, their impact on our lives here was just what you could already see. Psalm 96 proclaims there is one God, only one, that loves us all and holds us all. You might think of it another way. The context in which this psalm was penned was one of great chaos, doubt, and uncertainty. It was a time when people, even faithful people, were doubting because of all they saw around them and wondering if that one God, the God they had certainly heard was responsible for creating the heavens and the earth, of creating us out of dust, of being in complete control, wondering if that God existed anymore. Or you might sum it up this way, many of the faithful, those on the inside, you and me, you might say, were asking, where has God gone? I don't think it unwise to tell you, and I'm going to anyway, that thought has entered my mind, no matter how much I might push it out over these last couple of years. I know I'm not alone. We're human. We do doubt. In short, you might say Psalm 96 was written in a time very similar to the one you and I live in right now. I mean, even tonight, some of us wonder, should I be here in this room? Some made the choice not to come. We just don't know. This is our time right now of chaos, doubt, and uncertainty. We do the best we can, or at least most of us do. And into this time, for us, comes this psalm from another time much like it. So Psalm 96, and the intent of the writer of it was to remind those of us who might harbor that doubt, that uncertainty, who may be doubting whether God is still in control, that God still is and always will be the one who made the heavens, and that God is still able to secure the future for God's people, for us. Now, I want to say we, us humans, living the cracked vessel reality of our human existence on this earth, are cunningly adept at sabotaging that message. We are masters at changing the subject, at adjusting the focus. As one adage says, making God fit our image instead of fitting God's. We're so good at it. I'll give you an example, at least for me. I was watching a news story on the Russian buildup of troops on the Ukrainian border and the fear of escalation. And the reporter said that both sides had agreed to a ceasefire because, as they put it, quote, both sides believe there should be peace on the holidays. Classic human intervention. Classic human reasoning. Classic human deception, denial, and sabotage, I would say. You see, among the faithful, it is just so difficult to run up against this story you and I gather around tonight, where we peer deeply into this new dream and reality God has for us, where we are assured again each year that God is in charge, that God loves us all, that God will see us through, that there is something beyond all of this that includes all of us. It is so hard to be right up against that. Peace and goodwill toward all as you threaten to kill and oppress. And so we have seen so many times in history what I heard on that news clip. Both sides believe there should be peace on the holidays. Here's the point of Psalm 96, and I would say the point of Jesus coming into our lives, and that is this: peace is not just for the holidays. Not for just when we bump up against the blatant contradictions in our life on earth and what we say of our God. If peace can happen on the holidays, why not every day? Well, the answer is, I think, because we always, always, as humans, eventually take over for God. When the holidays are over, that imaginary border has been crossed, we go back to our earthly ways. You see, the ceasefire, that reality, is supposed to be our life, our world, our way. Not simply a reprieve or a holding off of our dealing with our contradictions. Not just a rest stop on the way back to our own desires or our own wishes or our own control. Here is the point of Jesus being born in a barn in Bethlehem. In the lowest of circumstances. We like to sugarcoat that, especially on this night. It was not a very appealing sight or place. Here is the point of our faith, that what this psalm says about the world to come shapes the way, or should shape the way, we live right now. To live as though we belong to this new dimension the psalmist proclaims means that we work here and now to bring justice and well-being, just as God also is working. It means we are co-creators with God, not passive receivers of God's edicts or wishes. We are to sing now, today, not someday, a new song. It reminds me of a cartoon I saw recently, two different scenes on top of each other, a scene of a speaker speaking to a large crowd. In the top picture, he's asking them, "Who wants change?" And they all have their hands in the air and they're yelling, "Yes, yes, we want change, and we want it now." And in the second scene, the same speaker asks, "Who among you is willing to change?" And they are motionless, silent, oblivious, just standing there. As I have quoted many times, Margaret Wheatley's quote, that in her life and her experience, she thought, people don't fear change, they fear being changed. But that's what this night is about. Us being changed. You and me singing a new song. You and me doing a new thing. Being a different being right here, right now. There's a joke I heard the other day. I hope it doesn't offend. I never know these days. But it goes like this. I wish COVID had started in Las Vegas, since what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And I really related to that. I know you do too. We all wish it would stay somewhere for a while. And yet here we are again. But we'll get through it. And God will be with us every bit of the way, as God has been in every bit of the way so far. And it is in just these kind of times when we, the faithful, those seeking to understand, those wishing to believe, those wishing to get closer, can see it more starkly, more precisely. It is in times just as these when God can become more of a reality, more deeply known. I want you to think about this story tonight. The reason we're in this room, the reason we risk being here, if this story were to be lived out today, that baby would be born under a bridge in Del Rio, Texas, or in a holding facility on our border, or in a refugee camp in Jordan, or Kenya, or Syria, or China. It would be born in the south side of Chicago, or the slums of Calcutta. And for the most part, we wouldn't even notice. Wherever this baby would be born, it would probably be born under occupation, as a resident alien, just as Jesus was. This is a part of this story, a part of our faith that I find so many who claim Christianity refuse to acknowledge and certainly don't live out of. In short, they sing a different song. One way we can sing a new song is to stop sanitizing the story, stop domesticating Jesus, stop making God in our image, instead of letting God make us in hers. What God does for us always arises out of a covenant to be with us always. God with us. That's what this night's about. It's not a political promise to provide for a balanced budget over the next decade. God with us does not mean our God is more in tune with one party or the other. God with us does not mean we get to make God fit into our selfish desires or expect God to do things God never said God would. God with us is Christmas. God with us is much more like the story from Eli Wiesel in his book Night, where he tells that heart-wrenching story of watching a five-year-old boy swing from the gallows. He writes, for more than half an hour, the child in the noose stayed there, struggling between life and death, dying in slow agony under our eyes, and we had to look him full in the face. He was still alive when I passed in front of him. And behind me, I heard a man asking, where is God now? And I heard a voice within me answer, God's right there. God's hanging on that gallows. That's it. God is with us in the present now, with those in poverty, the forgotten, the oppressed. Like the shepherds, we are witnesses to the presence of God among us. If we only have eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to notice. I'm sorry if you came here to get the sweet by and by sermon. No matter how chaotic things seem today, our future is still and is always in the one God of love, the one God who sent Jesus Christ in the most unlikely, the most earthly way. Our future, no matter what befalls us here, is with and in that God. Our song is not a melody of a magical God or a God that believes everything we believe, who does whatever we ask. God isn't Santa Claus, though we contort ourselves every year so much to try to make God that. Too often our own selfish song is pawned off as God's song. Way too many imposter songs are being sung under the Christian and Christmas banners. This song should come to us this night as a call and as a warning. We're singing the wrong song. My people, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the world a new song. Jesus Christ was born on this day. May a new song be born in us today. And may that new song carry us to a new life this day and every day. My beloved, what I wish most for you and for us is that we walk out those doors tonight, tomorrow, the next day, and sing. Sing. Sing.